Next question.
I love it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Next question.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Hit the pause. Robert Fortune.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
Let's get this.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Sports with the 12th man.
Yes, sir.
We're here to save people. Brett Bielmover, Nick Saban.
It's all lovely. Of course, welcome, America. You're officially
next
talking
question.
Sports with the 12th man. Fellas, they're already amped up. I feel like we're ready for a presidential debate, but it's all good. We're not going to say anything crazy. You know, we're going to keep that right where it is. But we got something to talk about on this lovely October 11th date, Tuesday. I am your host, Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-hosts. Let's check in with them. Mr. JQ, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, I'm doing all right. I'm trying to recuperate from that shellacking there in Dallas, but, you know, we're going to make it. Maybe we get a top 10 pick and we finally fire our coach, so we'll see.
Wow, JQ is officially on the fire coach. Hey, it's been happening all during the show, so maybe you may get your wish, man. So keep in mind, stay tuned for that, okay?
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Okay, Black Jesus, man, we'll see how that plays out for you, bro. Stay tuned. Mr. Robert Ford, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, all my teams was undefeated this weekend. Saints was on a bye week. LSU game got postponed / canceled. And Tulane got postponed too. Nobody lost.
That is crazy.
That is a little crazy, man. I'll give you that, man. Okay, so you're feeling better is what it sounds like.
Feeling good. No worries. You had some smattering of greens. Went a little country tonight with some sweet potatoes.
Wow.
Ooh!
Mm-mm.
This poor. See.
I told you. That's why I got to do that CrossFit.
Gotta keep it moving. I gotta get on that Eddie Lacy. What is it? 90X?
P90X. P90X,
yeah. Bro.
Okay.
Shut up,
bro. Man. I'm sure if you made it happen, Eddie Lacy would give you a call too, Rob, if you wanted to. Anyway, I'm feeling on cloud nine because my Falcons, man, we represent them, man. I'm pretty happy about that, man. So we'll talk about that a little later because, you know, I'm sure I can just see how this Rob's voice is not going to be happy about talking about this, but that's okay. That's what we do. Let's get the show started. I'm just so excited to hear Rob talk about this. But if you want to call into the show, America, that number is always as follows. It's the 424-243-9519. Call to your boys, give a shout out to all that fun stuff. We are also on Twitter. If you go to the number 12, THMAN Sports, you will find us in that space. And then last but not least, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you type in Talking Sports for the 12th man, you will find us in that arena as well. Gentlemen, let's kick this off, man. We got a lot of things to discuss. I'm sure we'll get into some baseball and some college football and all that fun stuff. But let's kick it off with Chip Kelly breaking news in that Kaepernick is going to be starting QB. And I guess whenever you kind of get a little skid there, then I guess, you know, things are going to start happening. But let's kick it off. Is this a good move? And JQ, what do you think about this move, sir?
I mean, you can't do much worse, right? So, I mean, it's not necessarily shocking. You know, Chip Kelly wants to keep coaching. I mean, I think part of it was that, you know, Blaine Gabbert was about playing Cat while Cat wasn't healthy. But at this point, you know, Blaine Gabbert is who we, you know, crowned him. He is who we thought he was. So, you know, you might as well turn to Kaepernick. And I think it may have happened a little earlier, if not for the protests. And now it may be a little bit further down the line. And you let Gabbert just exhaust all the possibilities of being horrible. And it's like, okay, I'm putting this guy in because it's really not for publicity stunt, right? This is performance-based, you know, football league. And Blaine Gabbert's not getting it done, so you might as well got to see. I mean, this Kaepernick went to the Super Bowl, so it's not somebody that you know that's always been a 2-14 quarterback. can he get back to something similar to that level? It's worth your time to find out.
What do you think about this? Go ahead, Rob, your thoughts, sir.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's obviously Blaine Gabbert has been flat out awful. I mean, obviously Kaepernick was awful last season as well. Had one of the worst QB ratings in the league. But hey, Kaepernick has the talent, and we all thought he would be the perfect fit for Chip Kelly's offense. So why not give it a shot and see what kind of results you can get from it? I think it's long overdue. And I know Kaepernick was hurt a lot in the preseason, but this is long overdue. And, I mean, I still think he should have been a starter almost from day one. Blaine Gabbert hasn't shown us anything since he's been in the league as an early first-round draft pick. Obviously, he wasn't worthy of that selection. And why not? I think, like I said, Kaepernick, if he performs, I mean, he should be the perfect match for Chip Kelly's offense. If it doesn't work now, it's not going to work at all.
Should have, could have, would have. But no, good points, both you guys, too. And I definitely think, like you said, JQ, in that he's been to the Super Bowl. But you do wonder, because that was under Jim Harbaugh, under the previous administration. And right now, I'm sure he lost his confidence. So you are curious if that's him being hurt or whatever. And right about now, they don't care any protests right now. I'm sure that, you know, the city of San Francisco, they just want a winner, man. So I'm curious how that plays out, man. So he can actually come out on top, gentlemen, because of everything that's been happening. If he starts winning, that'll be a very, very interesting story. I would say that, you know. Anyway, that's my little two cents on that too, guys. So we'll keep an eye on that. Let's kick it to a very exciting topic that I can't wait to hear, and the NFL's top five teams right now. And let's kick it off with my boy, Rob. What do you got in your top five, sir?
Well, I still got to go with the Minnesota Vikings at number one. They're the only undefeated team that's still standing defensively. They have been phenomenal. I think they've shut out just about everybody they've played this season. So their speed on defense, there's physicality on their defense, and they're getting by with just enough offense. Sam Bradford obviously coming in. It's the best we've seen of Sam Bradford since he's been in the NFL. And not doing anything spectacular, but he's just solid with that ball club. He's running a very efficient offense. I have them in the number one spot. New England, I have them in the number two spot. Tom Brady and that two tight end offense could be scary. We saw a little bit of that for the first time with Brady and the two tight ends this past weekend. Obviously, we're going up against the Cleveland Browns, though. So I think OSHA has got to be wondering why Cleveland keeps injuring quarterbacks. So I think they need to go check out Cleveland.
Not OSHA. Come on, man, not OSHA.
But New England, I have them at the number two spot. Pittsburgh, have them at the number three spot. JQ's favorite team. With a big win, 31-13 over the Jets. Obviously, they do have one bad loss this season, but I think offensively they could be scary, and I think they're still better on defense. And what Andre is waiting for me to say, I have the Atlanta Falcons at the number four spot. Obviously, offensively, they're looking like one of the better teams in the league, if not the best team in the league when it comes to offense. Big road win against the Denver Broncos. Give credit where credit is due. And so I have them in the number four spot. And the number five spot, there's a team that I hate almost as much as the Falcons, the Dallas Cowgirls. I have them at the number five spot with 4-1, but those rookies are performing. Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, that offensive line, and quietly getting better on defense as we speak. So I have them in the number five spot. That's my top five.
No, they are.
Week number five.
No, nah, Cincinnati just sucks. I reserve it on Dallas. Cincinnati sucks. My five, I got to stay with Minnesota. They're undefeated, and again, that defense is just ridiculous. They're flat out just dumb. And I'll talk about Sam Bradford a little later. But, yeah, Sam Bradford, what he's doing, it's not over the top, but he's not hurting that ball club. He's making just enough plays and letting that defense do what it does, and they're undefeated. And they have made people really just look bad on the defensive side of the ball. It's ridiculous. Got to holler at my homeboy, Dre. Look, we talked about it, and I said I was going to reserve judgment before we got too hyped up on the Falcons. But you go, and I mean, the Carolina game loses a little luster, but going to Denver and beating the defending Super Bowl champs. And I know they had Paxton Lynch, but they still have a great defense. But the game plan with getting the running backs involved, especially Tevin Campbell in the passing game, fantastic game plan. I got to put them number two this week. And then right here, the three or four, I could do New England and Pittsburgh in any order, really, if you want to put it. I think they're right up there in that conversation. I was just impressed with that Atlanta win at Denver. I mean, really, really impressed with that. I'm still going to keep Denver at five. And I know Denver had Paxton Lynch and you got a rookie in. But still, I think when Simeon has shown us now how much better he is than Paxton Lynch, right? So Denver with Simeon in running the show, and I agree, you could put Dagger's Foster. Rob, who did you have there at five?
Cowgirls.
The Cowgirls. You got the Cowboys at five, but they also play a horrific Cincinnati team, so I'll put them right there at six.
That's good, guys. And like I said, I got to be honest. I know I give Rob a hard time. I know it was hard for him to say that too. But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty cautiously optimistic, guys. And I'm not – we've been on the team before because we were 5-0 last year. This is a different team as far as the Falcons. So we're kind of cautiously optimistic. It was good to see us to beat, like, both the representatives for Super Bowl last year. And I will say that the fact that we I know the Carolina loss could be a little luster, but we did start playing with Cam until he got hurt. So that's – I know they lost to Tampa Bay, but if they had Cam, it may have been a little different. But my top five, same thing as everyone, the Vikings, great points on both sides. You talk about a really just impressive unit right now, and that defense is nasty. So that's going to be a tough out moving forward too. And like you said, it's amazing because, I'm sure you've got to wonder if they would have Teddy Bridgewater if they'd be 5-0. So that's a good call for Bradford. Not like you said, Rob, nothing spectacular. Just holding down, doing what he's got to do. One thing I'm going to talk about too, guys, because we're going to talk about Denver and Brock Osweiler, because maybe John Elway was actually correct in letting him go because he already had Simeon in his back pocket too. So, right now Brock is not looking like a good move right now for the Texans. We'll talk about a little later on. I agree with you, Rob. I got the Patriots number two. This is not me being a homer because, like I said, I could put my Falcons a little higher, but I think, Tom Brady coming back and he was just on fire, man. So you talk about some craziness, man. So Patriots number two. I'm going to go with the Seahawks number three, guys, just because of the fact that I think they're definitely a strong team. They still got that defensive reputation right now. I do like my Falcons at number four. And like I said, this is a cautious, optimistic situation right now, too, not because of the fact that I'm just all excited, but we're just, keeping everything where it is. And then we're going to kind of top it out with the Broncos at number five, too. But like you said, Rob, you can go Cowgirls, you can go Steelers if you would. But right about now, this is kind of where we are in week five, too. So I like the fact that we're thinking about this, and I love the fact that we kind of got different scenarios as far as our top five. But let's keep moving
here.
We all
got the same team number one, but we're a little different
than
number five.
Yeah, yeah. And that's pretty – so, like I said, I appreciate the shout-out too, JQ, for the Falcons number two, man. I'm going to – that's good stuff. Hey. Like I said, we'll see how everything plays out. And, it's pretty impressive, at least. I agree with you, man. So yeah.
And if you want to throw in top of that, they went to Oakland, a 3-1 Oakland team, I believe. They gave Oakland the only loss. So you put
Oakland
on there.
4-1, actually, yeah.
4-1, I'm sorry. So you throw Oakland into there as well with Denver. I mean, that's you can't really knock them. I had to put them in two.
Yeah, it's good. Still good calls. All right, gentlemen. So, I know JQ kind of mentioned this earlier about, a little luster loss with the Panthers. And I guess the question is what happened to them. And I can surmise, defensively, they kind of banked on some rookies in the secondary. That's what I would suggest. I mean, they thought that they could overcome. They had such a strong front seven that they didn't have to worry about the back end. But right now, that's proving to be a really huge mistake. Losing Josh Norman, no matter what you talk about, he did bring a little swagger to that defense. That's what I would say as far as, what's happening right now, too, because if you had told me that Kevin Benjamin's coming back and other pieces, they would have been a better situation, but they gambled and they lost big time. But that's me. But what do you think, JQ, happened to the Carolina Panthers right now?
I think that's one piece of it. I think they played a game of chicken with Josh Norman and they lost. I totally agree with that piece of it. But for me, it's up the middle. For the Carolina Panthers, with Kewan Short in the middle and Thomas Davis and Luke Kuechly. If you watch that game, Jaquias Rogers ran really ragged over that Carolina defense. And that's got nothing to do with Cam Newton not being in the game. And that front seven used to just be feared. They're not getting Charles Dodson's not getting the pass rush. Coney Ealy's not really getting a strong pass rush consistently. And but the way they got gassed up the middle with those two linebackers, the Kawan Short sitting in the middle on that defensive line, was just shocking to me to watch that on Monday Night Football. That they let, again, not Jaquizz Rodgers, but Jaquizz Rodgers had 103 mm-hmm. yards at Carolina mm-hmm. and just gashing. So to me, that's yeah. really where it tells the tale, is that they've been putting their offense also a lot in some bad situations because that defense has not been good. It's been awful.
He's only 5 feet, too.
He's 5 foot five.
But yeah,
but carry on.
Yeah, I know. I'm being facetious, obviously.
I know.
But yeah, I totally agree. Their defense has definitely been underwhelming this season. And I kind of figured if you can protect your quarterback, you'll be able to throw the ball against Carolina's defense. But as Jake Cuban mentioned, you can throw it and run it against them now. Their mm-hmm. defense overall has been atrocious. Absolutely no pass rush whatsoever. And then when you go to the offensive side of the ball, their offensive line has also been horrible too. Last year, you know, we knew their tackles were a little suspect. They were getting by. But their interior offensive line was nasty, and they've even lost some of that this season. And obviously, the Cam Newton injury, their depth at running back is very suspect. They could really use D'Angelo Williams on this team. So they actually have a lot of issues right now. There's only 8 teams in NFL history that's come back from 1-4 to make it to the NFL playoffs. So this is looking real ugly for a team that won 15-1 last year and made the Super Bowl. It'll almost take a miracle for them to come back and make the playoffs from 1-4, as I just mentioned.
Yeah, the Chiefs did last year, though, right? They were 0-5 or 0-4? I think the Chiefs did it last year. But you're right.
Yeah, the Chiefs were 1-5 last year, yeah. They were one of the teams.
Yeah.
They were 1-5, and they won 10 in a row, and they won their first playoff game. So really that was 11 in a row, and they lost to the Patriots.
Yep.
Good call, JQ. Man, excellent. Yeah, what an amazing fall from grace, man. And it just kind of shows you just how one offseason can do some things, because I'm pretty sure everyone picked Carolina to be atop of the NFC South. And like you said, I'm
including
sure.
Including all three of us.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm not going to lie. I'm right there with you, because, I mean, what do you think? You figured, hey, they're just going to rebuild. But it just kind of shows you how that definitely changes, man. But anyway, we'll keep moving here.
I go to show you how every season in the NFL is different. It's just, I mean, we talked about this a lot last few weeks. You're going to have 4 to 6 new playoff teams. That's just a given with the parity in the NFL.
Yeah, because the Bengals ain't going to make it either, so that's two of them right there.
Mm-hmm.
JQ, there's still some time, dude. There's still some time, man. Come on.
Stop it. Go. Move on.
I was trying to encourage you, bro, but okay. All right.
Yeah, no, there's no encouragement.
You're trying to get rid of Black Jesus there. Okay. Fair enough.
It's time for him to go.
All right.
We're going to have some JQ rants and Marvin Lewis like I had on Les Miles.
Yeah, man. I've been on that train. I'm the conductor. I'm not sitting on the caboose.
Oh,
I'm the conductor of that train.
Pick up your bags. All right, gentlemen. Let's talk about the top. I got 11 minutes here. Let's talk about the top five NFL rookie seasons since 2000. Rob, kick us off with this one, sir.
Well, I'm gonna go with Andrew Luck. His 2012 rookie season. Close to 4,400 yards passing, 23 TDs, led the Colts 11-5 record. That seems like a long time ago because they've been struggling, including Luck. Number two, RG3 in 2012. Ran for 815 yards, ran for 7 touchdowns, threw for 3,200 yards, a 20-5 TD-INT ratio, over 66% completion. Man, that seems like a long time ago, too. Wow.
Right.
Number three, you got to go with 2007, Adrian Peterson, 1341 rushing yards, 5.6 yards per carry. That's unheard of in the NFL. He did that as a rookie. Cam Newton, 2011 season, 4,051 passing, 706 yards rushing his rookie season. And number five, Russell Wilson, 2012, threw 26 TDs, led the Seahawks in 11-5. Playoff record in his rookie season as a third round draft pick. Those are my five.
Check your good boss.
Yeah, I got some honorable mentions in there because I got a lot of the same ones. But you know, 2014, OBJ, you know, in 12 games, 1,300 receiving yards and 12 touchdowns and 91 catches. That is just a ridiculous pro year. And I'm gonna throw Matt Ryan some love in 2008. You know, 440 yards with a 77.3% completion rate and 16 touchdowns. I know the touchdowns aren't big. 3,500 yards is about, and a 77% completion rate. That's really ridiculous, Matt Ryan, in 2008. But, yeah, I had Newton, RG3, and Luck in that conversation as well. You can't deny those three seasons. They're just stupid.
Absolutely. If we'd extended this in 1998, you had talking about Randy Moss, maybe the greatest rookie wide receiver season ever.
Yeah.
But you have to throw that in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's some good calls, man. I like it, too, man. I mean, I can't really argue. There's a couple of, selfishly, I would like to go with my Michael Vicks. But, stat-wise, these guys are right on point as far as that. It's amazing. RG3, Andrew Luck, just sitting back and looking at, they had such a great start. And then it's interesting how, like you said, Rob, how they've kind of, especially RG3, his career may be in jeopardy. And then Andrew Luck has had a tough go right about now, too, man. So, craziness,
well, you mentioned Michael
craziness.
Vick. He actually did not start his rookie season.
He didn't start. He didn't start. That's why that's
came in towards the last couple of games of the season. Yeah.
I was just more or less the excitement value. That's why I didn't really count. But I was just remembering, whenever we were just kind of we had such high expectation of that, too. But that's why good call on JQ with Matt Ryan, first pass, touch, amazingness. Good stuff, man, as far as the well, too. So that was just me just kind of like.
It's going to be a good call if you bring up a Falcon player.
Anything sticking in Robert's call, you kind of feel this right now because, we are leading the division, too, man. So, a lot of fun for that, too. Man, the top five surprising stars this NFL season. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, well, this is going to be a good call because number one is Matt Ryan on my list. obviously, Sunday's he's having an incredible season, and actually this past game against Broncos was actually his first game this season where his QB rating was under 100, and that was even a 98.4, and obviously the Falcons 4-1, so he's definitely having a much better season than he did last season when you're talking about Matt Ryan. Number two, Sam Bradford. Like we talked about, not doing anything spectacular, but efficient. The Vikings are 5-0. He's not hurting that team. They're winning. They're doing exactly what they need him to do to be successful. So you got to include Sam Bradford. He's the best that I've seen him since he's been in the league. Sammy Coates on JQ's favorite team, the Steelers, had 139 yards and two TDs, leads the NFL in 22.2 yard average per catch. So he's off to a great start this season and already have some pretty big weapons on that offense. Isaiah Crowell. The Browns' QB situation is a mess. We already talked about Osher's investigating them with the injuries and everything that they're having there. But he's been one of the few bright spots for the Browns. He's fifth in the NFL in rushing with 416 yards so far this season. And number five, believe it or not, is another Browns player on the 0-5 team, Terrell Pryor. This guy was a former QB. He's got 338 yards receiving, and he's on pace for over 1,000 yards receiving this season. Talking about for a former QB for JQ's Buckeyes, Terrell Pryor.
Yes, sir.
Very
Ohio
nice.
State, baby.
Very nice. Go ahead.
Ohio State.
Go ahead, JQ.
I had some of the same ones. I had to give Carson Wentz some love. That's a bad loss in Detroit. We all thought Philadelphia was going to be a dumpster fire, and he's just stepped in and been a guy. So I had to give him a little love. To Rob's favorite team, the Cowgirls, I got named two in Elliott and Prescott. Elliott and Prescott. I mean, who would have thought it? I mean, we thought the Elliott could do it, but that's a lot of hype as a running back, as a fourth overall pick, even with a good offensive line. And then you put a rookie quarterback back there. They still, I got to give them credit, even outside of the Bengals being horrible. They've been consistent this year. I had Matt Ryan as well. And one that, I know I've seen him play, so I'm a little bit biased, but Marvin Jones for Detroit is leading the league in receiving yards, and to come in and try to replace Calvin Johnson, and it's not translating all the time into wins, but he's giving them a lot of production at leading the league in receiving yards at the quarter mark pole. So I mean, I would try to give him a little love on that because he has a good situation, but it's still another thing to go out there and do it.
Gotcha. Good call, gentlemen. Good call too, because I actually had the two quarterbacks too, like you. J.K. Wentz and with Dak Prescott and obviously Ezekiel. I'm going to show another love, too, and I promise this is not being a homer. I like Tevin Coleman.
Uh-oh.
Talk about what a great game that he had.
Just
for him to kind of match up against that, that's kind of a great thing for him because I'm sure Denver didn't really see that coming, and then you know, he played really well. That speed was on display, and I'm sure, like I said, I love the fact that, you know, we're kind of mixing things up, and, you know, you kind of figure out you stop Julio, all right, you got Tevin, you still got Devontae, you know, so what a great call as far as that too, man. But good calls on that. You know, it's easy to pick Matt Ryan. It's easy to pick that. And a good call, Rob, for you as far as picking Sam Bradford too, because like you said, nothing spectacular. Not sure, and I got to give myself some love because I was telling you guys earlier, I'm like, you know, watch out for the Vikings, man, because they just need to solidify the quarterback. Now, I didn't think they would do this without Adrian Peterson, but, you know, a lot of interesting things as far as that and that defense, man. So they've been doing their thing, man. So that's been very, very impressive. All right, gentlemen, we got about 4 minutes here. I want to get to the predictions, but I also want to do the fantasy shout-outs. So, Rob, can we do the fantasy shout-outs first? And then we can do the predictions, and we can kind of get ready to go to the OT portion. So, yeah, go ahead, sir.
Get right to it. League number one, the Bristol Bombers. Aaron from Bristol, Connecticut, 185.98 victory over Yes and Me. The Dominators wasn't so dominant. We got blown out 185-105 in first place in league number one. How you going to pay for that fine, Andre?
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie. My co-host, Andre, is in first place in league number one. Straight cash, homie. In league number two, my other co-host, Ohio Players, with a big win over my other co-host, Andre. 170.30 to 110.98, biggest win of the week.
Yeah.
Boxcar Willie from New Orleans is in first place in that league. And league number three, the Kings team, Julius from Tulsa, Oklahoma, is in first place. Well, no, he's not in first place. He had the biggest win of the week over Pelican Fly, 125.30. And Ohio Players, once again, my co-host, is in first place in league number three. So let's keep it going, fellas. Thank you all for competing with us. And we still got a lot of fantasy and a lot of football to go this season.
That was crazy.
Sounds like that Vince. That's that Vince Carter duck, boy. Woo, boom, poster.
It was funny.
Over the
French
dude?
Over Frederick Weiss, whatever.
Frederick
Weiss.
It was
funny because one of my leagues, I started Tevin Coleman, and against you, JQ, I didn't start him because I was thinking they were like, he's not going to do anything in the Mile High. So I was like, yeah. So I ended up sitting. That's some reason why you beat me pretty badly, man, because if I would have played Tevin, that would have been a whole other conversation. But that's okay.
You still would have lost.
I still would have lost. It would have been the worst loss of the week, but that's okay.
It would have been the worst loss of the week, right?
I was like, oh, man, there's no way I'm coming back from this one. But, you know, at least it would have been as bad, man. Anyway, hey, Rob, we got about a minute and 47 seconds. Can you set us up for the OT portion, and we'll talk about some NFL predictions and some baseball stuff too, sir?
All right, next Tuesday night will be at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central. You don't want to miss it. We'll wrap up NBA predictions. Next Tuesday night will be our last show before the NBA season tips off. So we'll be getting into that. Obviously, we're going to be talking about football. We're going to be talking about NFL and college. And, of course, the Major League Baseball playoffs are going on. So we'll be covering that on Tuesday night. Hey, I'll be in you guys' city next week. Next Tuesday night, I will be in Hotlanta. And that's where we will be doing the show Tuesday night.
How's your women? How's your kids? Hey, listen here, Yahoo. Don't put me at the back of the draft again, please. Shout out to everybody listening to the show. Let's take class in San Diego.
Hey, you got first pick in one of those drafts, man.
That's what I'm saying. It worked one time. Let's see if it'll work again, you know.
Yahoo, I need that number one pick, Yahoo.
Shake you all as you pick like 12.
Make it happen for your boy.
I do. Man, I pick like 9th and 12th all the time, bro.
It's a sign that you can rise up, bro. That's what that means. That's what that says right there. How do you like that?
It's in our fantasy basketball draft next Tuesday night. So all of our competitors will be next Tuesday night right before our show.
Love it. Love it. Look at that. All right. Stay classy, San Diego. All that fun stuff, man. Mm-hmm. As JQ always like to say, man. So that's what we like to do. So appreciate you guys. Don't forget to tune in, listen to the podcast, all that fun stuff. We will see you next Tuesday. Gentlemen, we are officially into the OT portion, and let's kick it right off with some NFL predictions here. So we've got some pretty good games to call, and I know you said it too, JQ, it was kind of a tough loss for Carson. Not that it was a bad game, but just the fact that it was just, you know, that was going to happen. And let's talk about now Philly kind of repositions here, now they're going to Washington. I heard some news about Josh Norman. I'm not sure if he's totally out for this game. I got to kind of recheck, but what do you think about this call, this particular game with Eagles at the Redskins?
Oh, my goodness. To me, this is such a pick'em game. Like, I can see either one of these teams winning this game. It's all on Josh Norman. If Josh Norman plays, Washington wins. If Josh Norman doesn't play, Philadelphia wins.
Hmm. Okay. What do you think about that, Rob?
Not to copy JQ, but I actually feel the same way. If Josh Norman plays, Redskins defense has been actually outstanding lately. Redskins have won 3 in a row, and I think Josh Norman has been a big reason for that. And they've done getting enough offense. I think the Redskins win if Josh Norman is healthy enough to play.
Good call, man. I agree. Wow, it's crazy. All right, next big game, Atlanta at Seattle. This is a pretty interesting matchup. So I'll start off with you, Rob.
Well, I've been picking against Atlanta, and AC keep proving me wrong and winning.
That's okay.
But I'm going to pick against them again. I'm like Seattle in this one at home. Jimmy Graham is finally starting to show up in the Seattle's offense. So it seems like he and Russell Wilson are finally clicking in their second year together. So he's starting to show some of the things that he showed in New Orleans. And the offensive line is getting better. The defense is still solid. I like the close game here, but I think Seattle will pull it out.
JQ?
Yeah, and it's absolutely no knock of Atlanta because I had them second. But going to the Pacific Northwest and against that 12th man, I mean, they will have shown me something if Atlanta goes to Seattle and wins. But I can't pick against Seattle at home. This game is in Atlanta. I can pick Atlanta, but I can't pick Atlanta at Seattle. No matter how good they've looked, I just can't pick against Seattle at home. I just can't do it.
Fair enough. But do you think that Seattle has a better defense than the Broncos, or who do you think as far as defensively?
I do. I do.
Okay.
I think that combination of K.J. Wright and Wagner in the middle, and then you put Cam Chancellor down in the box, it's going to be a little bit more potent than Earl Thomas over the top. And they've shown some signs of being able to be beaten, but at Seattle, I will be thoroughly impressed by Atlanta if they go to Seattle and win. If they go to Denver and Seattle back-to-back weeks and win, I'm thoroughly impressed. But to call them to go 2-0 against those two teams back-to-back weeks on
the road,
I don't know if I can do it.
I would put them ahead of Minnesota if they do that.
yeah, I would.
Fair enough.
Absolutely would.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the one game I agree with you guys. I mean, I'm going to pick Atlanta just because my homer side. It's going to be – I agree with you guys. It's going to be a tough game. It's not going to be easy by any means. But hopefully they'll still have some respect no matter what happens with this game too, man. So I'm hoping that pretty good game. And we'll see. But like I said, it's not looking too good because of all the scenarios that we talked about. But we'll keep that in mind too. So good call, guys. Let's end it with another surprising team. We talked about Dallas. We talked about Prescott. We talked about Ezekiel Elliott. They're going into another hornet's nest at Green Bay, and I would kind of tend to agree towards that in that environment at Green Bay. It is going to be kind of tough, but they do have a running game. So, you know, we'll talk about that, and can Green Bay kind of knock off or knock Dak Prescott out? Because he's been playing pretty well. So what do you think about this particular game, Rob?
I like Green Bay at home in this one. To me, it's just Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott has been phenomenal. But for them to go rookies, go on the road and win a Lambeau Field, I just can't see that one just yet. Aaron Rodgers, to me, still is not looking like the Aaron Rodgers of 2 years ago and beyond. But I think he'll still be good enough. And their defense has improved tremendously there in Green Bay. So I think they'll do enough to win this football game. I like a 7-point win by Green Bay.
Thank you.
absolutely agree. That Green Bay run defense, that's going to be the key to the game. That Green Bay run defense against that Dallas offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott, because that Green Bay run defense has actually quietly been spectacular. They've got some losses in the back end, but if you're talking about a Dallas team without Dez Bryant, then yeah, that could look good. I'll take that run defense to slow that Dallas offense down. And then Green Bay offense with Aaron Rodgers is going to show you how you do it against that mediocre Dallas secondary on the corners. I'm not sold on Claiborne back there at all. Now go do it against Cobb and Jordy Nelson with Aaron Rodgers throwing them the ball. I think Green Bay wins by 10.
Interesting. Good call. All right, I kind of see. I do kind of agree with you guys too, man, that it's going to be tough for them to go to Lambeau and do that. But we will see how they step up to the challenge. All right, gentlemen, let's move forward here. We're going to talk a little baseball here. We've got the playoffs happening right now. And you know, obviously, as you know, Red Sox are officially out by the Cleveland Indians, a sweep. And I guess the question is, what happened to the Red Sox? Rob, what the French Toast, dude? What happened, man? This is crazy.
Well, obviously, I'm happy about this, but I also predicted the Red Sox to go to the World Series on our show just last week. And we know when the Red Sox season ended disappointment, they like to clean house, but it looks like they're going to keep John Farrell as manager going into next season. The bottom line is their pitching offense just underperformed here in that series. The Indians played inspired baseball. They played efficient baseball. And let's just face it, David Price, Craig Kimbrell, their closer, and Drew Pomeranz all underperformed in this series, and it cost the Red Sox.
And Doug Porcello did that as well. The PNP, they didn't do their job. And I said that last week. That was my one reservation about taking the Red Sox that far, is that I just didn't believe in David Price in the postseason. And I should have listened to my inner self, because I was right. But, again, that offense, like we talked about, didn't do what they needed to do. And from top to bottom, really, they just underperformed. And the Indians, I just can't believe that God would let Cleveland win two titles in the same year. But they one step closer, though. They one step closer. You got to give them credit.
And I think they'll beat the Blue Jays. I think a great series, though. I think it's going to go seven games, though.
Yeah, a lot of bombs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sign of the apocalypse if Cleveland wins. Man, that's crazy, bro. No offense to the Cleveland fan. I'm just saying that's just craziness that happens. Let's talk about a quick update on the Dodgers national season. I'm looking at the score. Dodgers edged it out with a 6-5 win over the Nationals. So, what are your thoughts about this one, JQ?
I'm shocked. I Kershaw not doing what he needs to do again. I just think the Nationals were going to have enough offense. But they're getting Harper to hit better, and Murphy, he did it last year for the Mets. He's doing it this year for the Nationals, and they're getting just enough pitching to even get that Dodgers lineup to keep it 2-2. So we'll find out. I thought the Dodgers would win the series. I didn't think it would go to game five, but I'm still staying with the Dodgers in the series.
Wow. I got to say, that's a good call about Danny Murphy. He had a strained buttocks. That's the funniest injury I've ever seen, man. But anyway, he made it back, man. So Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I mean, I think JQ covered that one well. You know, Chase came up big, delivered the RBI single to force game five. So we got a game five in the National League. Might have another one the way this Giants-Cubs game is going right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right now the Giants are up 5-2, so It's in the top of the ninth here? Man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Add more, I'll tell you. Delivered bases loaded single. That was huge for the Giants in this game.
And sure was.
Yeah. Looking like the difference in the game right now.
Man, we need
like
to be careful about predictions.
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
Because we were thinking that the Cubs were going to, do some damage here, and they are actually running into a pretty tough out as well, guys. So. Man.
Yeah, well, the Giants have got a playoff moxie. You know, we won 3 out of the last 6 World Series, so they're not going to go out without
Bumgarner
a fight.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
And they got
Bumgarner.
Bumgarner.
Absolutely. They'll pitch him again if they could, probably, right? If he goes again, they go, do it again, man.
But they still just get turned over to Cueto, so that's not going to be – that's going to be tough for the game five. Cueto lost that game, but he gave up one home run in 8 innings. He gave up a run and lost.
It's crazy.
So it
that's
went like
crazy.
They were destroying him. So right, so they get Cueto part of the game five, too. That's going to be tough.
Man, anyway, so we'll keep – I know that's Robert's second favorite team out there, man. So we'll keep an eye on that. And if so, man, we'll talk about what the Cubs are going to have to do. What happened to the Cubs probably next week if that goes down. But
oh, yeah.
Anyway, Let's talk about another interesting situation in that the Blue Jays completed a sweep of the Rangers. And I guess, you know, was this a surprise, you think, JQ, or is this kind of like par for the course? What are your thoughts about this particular series?
I just real quickly, I was completely surprised. Darvish and Hamels just got shelled. And that's really what it came down to. They were supposed to come out and be the Bumgarner and Cueto, basically, for the Rangers and keep the Jays' offense down, and they didn't do it. And that's the difference in that series. So when those two guys went 0-2 to go to the top of the rotation and start that series, they were done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think about that, Rob?
Well, you know, you look at this Blue Jays team offensively. Last season, they led the league in runs scored. This year, they were fifth in the league in runs scored. But if you look at their offense in September and October, they only averaged 3.7 runs per game. Now, all of a sudden, the firepower is back. Edwin and Carson Leon and Jose Bautista, they're swinging for big contracts. They're free agents at the end of the season. Josh Donaldson went 7-for-13 in the season series, even though he's battling some injuries. And their bullpen was awesome in this series, too. I mean, Roberto Osuna was terrific as well. And so, I mean, I was in Toronto game three, you know, watching the game at the Comedy Bar. So I was in Toronto this weekend with the locals. So that was a pretty fun experience seeing them win that game.
Nice.
Nice. Good job, man. Good job. All right, we got about 5 minutes here. I want to talk about the Big Six bowl predictions, and we'll let Rob kind of lead us off, and hopefully we'll end up with some predictions for college football. Rob, if you can, man, hopefully save the Dwayne Wade stuff and the NBA stuff for next week if you can, because I want to talk about our predictions and what Dwayne Wade said as well. Man, that's pretty interesting. But talk about the Big Six bowl predictions, Rob, right off the bat here, sir.
Big Six, I'll go through it rather quickly. Let's start off with the Peach semifinal in Atlanta, Ohio State against Washington. Should be a hell of a football game. The other semifinal in the Fiesta Bowl, Alabama against Clemson. Rose Bowl, Michigan against a quietly surprising team, Utah. Sugar Bowl, Texas A&M against Oklahoma. Cotton Bowl, Boise State, the blue football field is back again. Wisconsin, another Big Ten team there. Orange Bowl, like Louisville and Tennessee. Another terrific matchup. Then we look at the two semifinals. I like Alabama and Ohio State in the championship game. I'm having a hard time picking the winner in that game. I'll let JQ pick the winner. I know what he's going to say, though.
No, I'm not. I don't have Ohio State in the championship game. Fiesta Bowl, Clemson and OSU. Okay. The Peach Bowl, Alabama and Louisville. I still think they're going to get Louisville with that game against Clemson. They run the table and get them in. The Cotton Bowl, Houston. I don't think the Navy is going to. I think Navy's going to lose two more games. I'm going to go Houston, Oklahoma, Rose, Little Blue, and Washington. Sugar, Texas A&M, and Baylor. Orange, I think FSU sneaks back in. I think the weight of the ACC is going to win today, and I think they play Tennessee as well. Championship game, I have Alabama and Clemson. I'm staying with that. I pick Clemson, and I'm going to keep going with it.
Okay.
Wow. Good call. JQ fired up pretty efficiently, man. I like it, man. I like it.
I'm going to pick Alabama if I got to pick a winner. Alabama over Ohio State championship game.
Wow.
Of course
Okay.
And I hate Alabama.
You better hope that he's picking against you, JQ, is going to be successful, man. That's all I got to say. All right, gentlemen. 2 minutes here.
I was calling Lee Corso.
Really quickly. That's right. Let's talk really quickly about a couple games here, man. Number one, Alabama. Number nine, Tennessee. Tennessee's been surviving on by a string, and they finally got beat last week. So now this is a pretty big game. What do you think about this particular game, JQ?
Nick Saban, Alabama.
Rob?
Not picking against Alabama again. Alabama goes on a roll. They win by at least two touchdowns. Tennessee won't stay close like they have been the last few weeks.
I agree. Ole Miss, number 12. Ole Miss, number 22, Arkansas. Rob?
I like Ole Miss on the road, winning this game with their offense.
JQ?
I'm going with Arkansas, running the ball and keeping the Ole Miss offense off the field by three.
Whoa, split. Number two, Ohio, O-H-I-O.
I-O, baby.
Number eight.
You don't even have to ask.
That's right, man. I know, man. Yeah, that's what I thought. By the way, they're playing Wisconsin if you wanted to check. Rob, what were your thoughts, man?
I'm going all three road teams. I'm picking Ohio State on the road. Too much firepower for Wisconsin. Wisconsin won't be able to keep up.
30 seconds, Rob.
I pray for God to happen.
There
next
is.
Tuesday night,
game, 11
p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Definitely tune in. We got a lot. We got basketball. We got NFL. We got college football and Major League Baseball all in one show. You don't want to miss it next Tuesday night. Good night, people.
JQ.
O-H-I-O. Come on, Buckeyes. I need you. The Bengals suck. Let's go, Buckeyes. I need somebody to be doing something. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. Holler at y'all next week.
Good night, people.
That's why I love for JQ, man, you know, because he keeps it real, man. He wears his emotions right there, too. See you guys next week, guys. It's fun. So enjoy sharing the field of battle with you guys. Be good, man. Have a good